Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 3rd Canto, Chapter 5, Vidura's Talks with Maitreya, Text 14. Tanchu cha sucha na viduna suche. Hare katayam vimukam nagina. Ksinoti devo nimisastu yesham. Ayurvrita vada gati smritina. All those shucha, pitiable, sucha, of the pitiable, avidha, ignorant, anusuchi, I pity, hare, of the Lord, katayam, to the topics of vimukam, averse, agena, because of sinful activities, ksinoti, decaying, devaha, the Lord, animisaha, eternal time, to, but, yesam, of whom? Ayu, duration of life. Vritta, uselessly. Vada, philosophical speculations. Gati, ultimate goal. Smritina, of those following different rituals. Translation. O sage, person who because of their sinful activities are averse to the topics of transcendence and thus ignorance of the purpose of the Mahabharata, Bhagavad Gita, are pitied by the pitiable. I also pity them because I see how their duration of life is spoiled by eternal time while they involve themselves in presentations of philosophical speculation. Therefore, theoretical, ultimate goals of life and different modes of ritual. Purport. According to the modes of material nature, there are three kinds of relationships between human beings and the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Those who are in the mode of ignorance and passion are averse to the existence of God, or else they formally accept the existence of God in the capacity of an order supplier. Above them are those who are in the mode of goodness. This second class of men believe the Supreme Brahman to be impersonal. They accept the cult of bhakti in which hearing of Krishna Katha is the first items as a means and not the end. Above them are those who are pure devotees. They are situated in the transcendental stage above the mode of material goodness. Such persons are decidedly convinced that the name, fame, form, qualities, etc. of the personality of Godhead are non-different from one another on the absolute plane. For them, hearing of the topics of Krishna is equal to meeting with him face to face. According to this class of men who are situated in pure devotional service to the Lord, the highest goal of life, of human life, is purusartha, devotional service to the Lord, the real mission of life. The impersonalists, because they engage in mental speculation and have no faith in the personality of Godhead, have no business hearing the topics of Krishna. Such persons are pitiable for the first class pure devotees of the Lord. The pitiable impersonalists pity those who are influenced by the modes of ignorance and passion. But the pure devotees of the Lord take pity on them both, because both waste their most valuable time in the human form of life in false pursuits, sense enjoyment, and mental speculative presentations of different theories and goals of life. So Srila Prabhupada makes it crystal clear by speaking about the three modes of material nature and explaining that people who are in the modes of ignorance and passion are averse to the Supreme Lord. They are not interested. And that those who are in the mode of goodness, they are attached to the impersonal Brahman, and only the pure devotee
is fully realizing the absolute truth, Krishnastu Bhagavan Swayam. And whereas the impersonalists are looking at the at those who are in ignorance and passion and saying, oh, how unfortunate they are forgetting about the Supreme Lord, in the same way the pure devotee looks, how unfortunate are both those who are gross materialists and the impersonalists. So, in this way, Srila Prabhupada has really explained the verse in a very nice way, making it very clear. Devotional service is about descending knowledge. There is the Aroha Panta and the Avaroha Panta, or the ascending process and the descending process. Avaroha means descending, Aroha means ascending. So that is the difference between the impersonalist and the devotee. That the impersonalist is following the ascending process. By means of his own intelligence, he tries to figure out the difference between spirit and matter, sometimes called neti-neti. Not this, not this. This is not spirit, this is not spirit, this is not spirit. The impersonalist makes a fundamental mistake. But there is some logic to it. And the fundamental mistake is this, is that whatever qualities, whatever is material, cannot be spiritual. Agreed. Spiritual, then they say, so because the qualities that are in the material, that cannot be there in the spiritual. So in material there is form, therefore in spiritual there can be no form, so they will say. In other words, they'll say spirit must be the opposite of matter. And it makes sense if one thinks about it. There's a logic to it. Therefore Sankaracharya's logic was strong. Spirit is the opposite of matter. So whatever qualities matter attains or obtains, that cannot be there in spirit. Thus, there is form, there is variety, and all these things in matter. Therefore, spiritual must be formless. See the logic? Of course, that is not the case. Rather, what is the case is that matter is a reflection of spirit, and therefore the qualities of spirit are reflected in matter. And thus there is some similarity, although it is sometimes called the shadow reflection. And when we see the shadow of a person, we see the contours, but we don't see the color, we don't see all the variety, but we just see sort of the shape a little bit. So in this way, the reflection is not the same as the original, but it follows the original. And in this way, the forms that we have in the material world cannot compare to the spiritual forms that exist in the spiritual world, but still they are similar. Like Krishna appears with two arms, just as we do, in a human-like form. But then, of course, Krishna's form is not human at all. Avajanati manmuda manusimutanamasritaha. Those fools, mudas, they think I've taken a human form. So in this way, the logic of the impersonalist is faulty. Pantastu koti saptavatsara sampragamyo. It is said that one cannot, by mental speculation, understand the absolute truth. One cannot touch the tip of the toe of the Lord by this process. So that is the problem. The ascending process is fundamentally doomed. It's not possible for the small to conceive of the great. How can the tiny living being with limited intelligence understand the unlimited nature of the Supreme Lord? As soon as someone says, I understand Krishna, then a Vaishnava will immediately understand, oh, this person is not spiritually very advanced. Because there's no question of understanding Krishna. One can only see that of Krishna which he reveals to us. And Naham Prakasa Sarvasa Yoga Maya Samavritaha. Krishna covers himself by his yoga maya, by his illusory energy. When the illusory energy is manifest in the material world, we call it Mahamaya. And when it's manifest in the spiritual world, it's called Yoga Maya. But in one sense, all the illusory energy of Krishna is Yoga Maya, because it all comes from Krishna. Savashya Sahamri Sanivisto Matasmiti Gyanama Pogalams Cha. Remembrance and forgetfulness come from me, Krishna says. Therefore, even Mahamaya is also originating from Krishna. So in that sense, it's also Yoga Maya. Therefore, Yoga Maya Samavrita. It is Yoga Maya that covers all the living beings, although we would say Mahamaya. Yes. Avritam jnaname te na yoginam nityavairina kamarupena kunteya duspurena nalena cha. That this lust is burning like fire within the heart, and it covers us. Avritam jnaname te na. It covers our knowledge from the Supreme Lord. So that's why we understand that people who are in the modes of passion and ignorance become averse to the Lord, because they forget Him. They forget Him. They become so bewildered by the illusory energy, and the illusory energy becomes so significant that they become small-minded. Kshudratma. Kshudratma. K-S. Kshudratma. And opposite of the devotee, who is Mahatma, and who takes shelter of the Daivipakriti, of the divine nature of the Lord. Therefore, one cannot expect that those who are afflicted by the modes of ignorance and passion will just, by good argument, surrender. It's not so simple. One can explain, no, but understand, actually, Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and so on. And we can give all the arguments, and they don't listen. They're not interested. Don't waste my time. Leave me alone. Not interested. Not interested. Because those who are in the mode of ignorance and passion, for them the material energy has become so big, so important, that no, I cannot bother with these things. Talk about something practical. Why are you talking about something, you know, God, something up there in the sky? Give us a break, you know. We're busy here on the ground. We've got to do things, right? Real things. We've got to deal with reality. I said, no, you're not dealing with reality. You're only looking up to the clouds, but you don't look beyond the clouds. You don't look very far. You're having a shallow vision. You're just seeing what's on the ground. But what about the sky and what is beyond the sky? And ultimately, there's the Supreme Lord, who is the origin of everything. We will argue. And they say, oh, this doesn't make sense, you know. Just deal with something real and something practical. So with argument, it may not be so easy to convince the person in the mode of passion or ignorance. But if we somehow or other engage them in the service of Krishna, they'll get purified. And then they will gradually, tadara jastamo bhavakamado viryasthaye, the influence of the lower modes will disappear. The influence of the lower modes will disappear, and as a result, they'll become more open to hearing about Krishna. Then, at one point, they can take to Krishna consciousness. Therefore, the first thing that is needed is abhyasa sukriti. We cannot just expect that we can convince people. In preaching, sometimes we wonder, how do we get people to take Krishna consciousness? They're just not interested. Now what do? We're trying hard, but they're not interested. How can we get them to take it?
Simple.
By somehow or other arranging a means by which they can engage in devotional service. Unknowingly. Therefore, Harinam Sankirtan in the streets is the first means. Everywhere, flood the people with the holy name. The more they hear the holy name, the more they become purified, and they'll start to like it a little bit. They'll start just like Jagai and Madai. Madai is the one who actually hit Lord Nityananda with the clay pot. And Madai is the one who wanted to hit Lord Nityananda the second time with the clay pot. Jagai is the one who stopped Madai. And he said, No. And it was Jagai who had earlier on said to one day to Madai, he said, "They seem very nice." Father said, "They're rubbish.
And
But Jagai had developed some appreciation for Harinam. Somehow, for a moment. So this is what will happen because Krishna is all attractive. So it's not how can we convince people about Krishna consciousness. Krishna is all attractive. But if we don't present Krishna, if we don't give Krishna, how can people be attracted? We'll say, nobody is interested in Krishna consciousness, so we stay home. We unlock the door, because there is so much maya out there. So we lock the door and chant inside, and safely in our temples, well protected from maya. And all these people that walk past, we never talk to them, because you know, they're not interested. Who says they're not interested? There was a wonderful tea couple who came from overseas and they put a table out there and they were distributing books right there outside in front of the temple and they were selling books. And they were just, no one ever thought of that before. Not that our fault, they just didn't think about it. So it is like this, we just don't see that people are interested because it looks like they're not. They're so attached to the material way of life, but no satisfaction. It's not possible. One may run after material things, but it is not possible to be fulfilled. So the emptiness in the heart remains. Flood the world with Harinam Sankirtan, with the glorification of Krishna. Of course, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta said, what will your coal in Gartas, your coal is the clay manure, what will it do? What will it do? How far can it be heard? He started, and the printing press was beating also. So he called it Brihadaranyaka, the great Vrindavana. He said, this Vrindavana will be heard everywhere. We'll go wide. Whereas your cold Vrindavana will just hear it maybe for one block. But both must be there. Harinam must be there. They're both combined. And in this way, people get the Akhyata Sukriti. Some distribution, they get Akhyata Sukriti, they get unknown spiritual benefit. This unknown spiritual benefit is what is needed first before people can come. Yes. You notice that when there is a kirtan going on, it's easier to distribute books. Yes, there's a kirtan. Some of them you distribute books, then it becomes easier. Kirtan in the background. And it's also easy to see who's interested because some people will stand there and watch the kirtan and they smile. Okay, next moment, there's the book. The book distributors look around. Who's smiling at the kirtan? Okay, that's the one. That's the devotee. Here it is for you. A nice, special.
special gift, the greatest gift, actually. It's priceless.
It's priceless.
Therefore, we're giving them out today because these books are priceless. Therefore, we're not selling them because they are priceless. But we just give what you can. But not just, you really give. You give from the heart. And you never give something small. You just don't take it and you see it. And the doctor just gave. A big one. And it takes a while. All these things, but Agyata-sukriti is really how we penetrate through this thick layer of ignorance and passion. And that is what is needed in preaching. So it's not that it is complicated. When people are not immediately taken to Krishna consciousness, it means more Agyata-sukriti. Prabhupada used to explain that the book is so powerful that when people even touch the book, they become purified. So, you always put the book in people's hands. If they say no, that's okay. The ones who say no today become purified by touching the book. So they will be the customers of tomorrow. Things like this. The ones who say no today, oh, very good. So they will take it tomorrow because they get purified now. This way, we are not becoming discouraged when people are not immediately taking Krishna consciousness and say, and give up and say it's impossible to preach. No. More Agyata-sukriti is needed. Like sometimes we want to start with Namahata, but Namahata comes later. First, there must be Agyata-sukriti. When we start with Namahata, nobody will come. First, we have to start with kirtan, harinam, prasada, books, and all these things. And then, after some time, people take some interest. Okay, then they'll come. Oh, you have a program. Can I come? Yes. Then they'll come. And sometimes you see amazing results. You see that some people, they get a book and they don't realize that there is a whole movement behind the book with temples and devotees and everything. But they just go, they start with the book, and then they start at home, and they make an altar at home, and a whole Krishna conscious arrangement, and they have no idea that there's an international society for Krishna consciousness, and they just try to be devotees at home, following the book. And then you go to their house, and there's an altar, and there's all kinds of things. And it's amazing to see how the book touched them, and how they just started practicing. So in this way, this movement will spread, surely. Sometimes we think you begin preaching by opening a center. We first need a center to preach. We need to, No, that comes much later. First, you go out to the people, you engage the people, Agyata-sukriti, then after a while they may take a book, then maybe they will not come to your program, but you ask them, would you like a program in your house? We actually do. If you meet someone out there who's still interested, say, would you like a program in your house? And we'll come, and we'll bring the prasad, and we'll do the kirtan in your house. In this way, it works. In this way, we can penetrate, and then eventually you'll start coming to us. But if we just sit and wait and say, why is no one coming? That is not coming because the people are so fallen. Why the people? It's coming. People are so fallen, they will never come. They are just not interested in spiritual things. No, they are. They're suffering. They're suffering. So because they're suffering, they want some relief. So ultimately, of course, they're too busy with their sense gratification, but they are suffering. So in this way, we can penetrate. that is how Prabhupada did it. That is how he did it. Yes, he started programs a few times a week, but soon he started taking kirtan out. And then eventually, Prabhupada, in the beginning, that the kirtan, the devotees, they would do everything in a group. The early devotees, they would do everything together. So they were in the temple all together, or they would go out all together for Harinam, everyone. And then they would distribute magazines. And that, okay, they managed to distribute magazines. But then came Prabhupada did Krishna book, the big Krishna book came. It was huge. And so then VBT printed so many, and then all the temples had these Krishna books in the basement. They didn't know what to do with them. They didn't know how to distribute. How can you distribute such a big book and get so much money from the people? Impossible. Impossible. It says that Budi Manta was the one who started it, who exchanged one for petrol. Yeah, and he just had a full tank, and you know, they just tanked up. And they went to the counter and they said to the man, look, you know, and they showed the book, and they said, you can take the book, and you know, and then instead of the money for the petrol. The man had to pay for the petrol. And he did it, he took it. Then they said, that people actually take these books, and they start trying it, and then they start. And, you know, and then, like, over the years, the devotees got more and more bold. At one point in Switzerland, they were going for big stacks, right? Stacks like this. A huge stack. And they're carrying this stack and put it on someone's head. 15 books. Boom. And people would just stand there with all these books in their hands. And they congratulate them and think, wow, I'm getting one of this. And they would sell them. You think it's impossible. But they did, like, you know, Harinamananda and what's his name?
Lavina.
That's right. They were doing like 800 books a day on this. Big ones.
I mean, amazing.
Things that you think are not possible. But yet it's possible. So, because no one is satisfied, but everyone is just showing off to the neighbors. Everyone is just showing off to the neighbors. Yes, yes, yes. I'm a success. I'm a success. No. We know everyone is a failure in the material world, and everybody knows it. I'm not happy. I have failed. And because they are failures, therefore, sooner or later, they need Krishna consciousness. And so, but maybe first a little bit more on the other side. So these programs, so Harinam once a week is not enough. Book distribution, Sangatan, festivals once a month, it's not enough. Book distribution by a few ladies, you know, is not enough. I mean, it won't work. It's not enough opportunity for people to get that Akhyata Sukriti. When they say in some places in the world, oh, where have you gone? We never see you anymore. Because all the devotees got married and got jobs and wear regular clothes and so on. We never see you anymore. If you see a devotee in these clothes, then it's shocking. The first, when Kirtanananda, who was the first devotee who put on these clothes, right, after Prabhupada, Kirtanananda wanted to stay out of the army, so he tried to act that he was crazy. And they were convinced. He came in these clothes, and this guy is crazy, and they locked him up. They locked him up. That was a whole problem to get him out. So they used to think that people dressed like this, lunatics, you know, totally mad. But gradually, people began to understand more what it was about. When I saw the first devotees in Amsterdam, I thought they were total religious fanatics. This is, you cannot get more fanatic than this. These people are seriously brainwashed and seriously fanatic. The brahmacharis thought they were fired up.
So that's what comes next.
We try, after we have done the initial adult greeting, to get people to get more serious. Now if they get more serious, they don't want to get serious. Give them fun. Give them more fun. Just give all the fun from Krishna consciousness. And let them participate. Let them do it. They do it. We don't do it. One big problem is we go into these universities and we do it. And we bring cake and we bring cheese subject and we do it. My God, like how much cake and cheese subject can you get in? After a while, it's the same old cake and the same old cheese. It doesn't do it. You need to bring up fun, and they do it. You know, on campus, right? Bang! You know, we're gonna have a festival, and they're doing it. Look at Bhakti Mark's song. Right? People don't know what they're doing. They don't know what they're doing. The next moment, they're in a plane. Basically kidnaps people and puts them in a plane. Yeah? Because it's fun. So it's fun. Everyone is going for the fun. Right? We're all together doing this play. Wow, it's fun. So give them fun. Don't try to make them more serious. Try to give them more fun. Serious comes later. Even I don't like to get too serious. Also like fun. Yes.
Thank you for your inspirational class. Actually, trying to start a concert in an orphanage.
In an orphanage?
In an orphanage. So please may I have your blessings to secure that.
May you what?
May have
your business
in order to
escape. Yeah, of course, you know. And again, you know, let them do. Right? When I was a kid, you know, somehow or other, one boy got me involved in doing puppet shows. So I loved it because we were doing it. It wasn't like usually kids had to watch puppet shows, but we did our own puppet shows. Hey, we were doing it. You know, and that was fun. And if they even made the puppets themselves, with a little help, you know, then it becomes fun. So give them, flood them with fun. Then all these orphans will never forget. Some will get more serious, some will not get more serious right away. They'll never forget it. And when life gets more serious, then those who didn't get serious will become worse. They'll remember. At that time, there'll be ripe fruits and only have the big devil. So some fruits get ripe straight away. And that's what we want to see. We want to preach and we want to come and say, I surrender, I give my life. And that you only see. These Muslim programs staged by Zakir Naik or some Christian evangelists. But that happens also often. But many times, the fruit gets ripe all the time. Because they may not get serious, but life gets serious. And then, when you do, then you remember the fish. Then you do. So, yes.
Packaging of Krishna consciousness is something
useful for those people who are in the Lord's vigorous impassion. It definitely can make it easier. So we started bridge preaching as a means of practicing. We look like we are hatha yogis, although we are not hatha yogis, we are bhakti yogis. But, you know, in order to engage people, do a little hatha yoga, and then put in bhakti. To name an example, or, you know, Prabhupada allowed bands to be there. Was this album a change of heart? And it was all like heavy electric and this and that, but Krishna conscious lyrics and this and drugs. Yes. So Prabhupada was open that they would adjust. In Hong Kong, he said they can do yoga preaching, things like that. So Prabhupada authorized that we can adjust and package Krishna consciousness in a way that it becomes more easy to accept people. So that's good. But, you know, we also need some bridge preaching is fine. We can go over the bridge to meet people. But we should keep this side, our own side of the bridge, strong also. We should have concentrated Krishna consciousness on our side of the bridge. Sometimes devotees go over the bridge and they never come back. And they stay on the other side of the bridge. And one problem is, in bridge preaching, when you package Krishna consciousness so much to make it look like something else, and you do bridge preaching, how are you going to bring these people back over the bridge? They like the covered Krishna consciousness you present, but they don't like the straight, more concentrated Krishna consciousness which we're practicing at home. So what about that? Yeah. So that's like I can translate Bhagavatam into modern coaching language and use all the words and so on. And then when they hear Bhagavatam straight, it's too much for them. Yeah. But as it was for me, when I read the Krishna book, I couldn't handle it. The first Bhagavad Gita was easier for me. Krishna book was too much. I got both before having the Krishna book. The Krishna book was all, every three lines, Prabhupada said the Supreme Personality of Godhead. It was just too much. This is too religious, too religious. I can't handle this. Bhagavad Gita was a bit more philosophical. I mean, when I came to the Krishna Balaram Mandir, I was a new person. I wasn't really exposed to Krishna consciousness. And I just came in at 1 to 7 at night, and they were doing Tulsi Puja. And all these people were bowing down to a planet. Ooh, here we go, you know. Bowing down to a planet. What would you think? It takes some time so we can package and package and package, but in the end, you know, here's Tulsi, and now I'm going to bow down. Yes, we are. I mean, sooner or later. So all the packaging is good, but the danger is that we will become scared to present the real thing. And therefore, okay, we do bhakti. So when is the bhakti going to come in? Yeah. In which lesson? Number 2 or number 3 or number 4 or 5? How long are we going to wait before we're going to say, actually, it's not all one? Prabhupada said, they will come to us and they will say, I'm okay, you're okay. And Prabhupada said, no, we're okay and you're not okay. That is our message. So we cannot just flatter people It's nonsense what you're doing. It's still, sooner or later you have to tell. It's nonsense what you do.
It's a waste of time. The essence is to serve Krishna 24 hours a day. So, Hatha Yoga is fine. But what is the purpose of Hatha Yoga? Prabhupada, let us listen to a lecture 2 days ago. Prabhupada said, when Hatha Yoga becomes gymnastics, then it's a total waste of time. Hatha Yoga is meant to focus the mind, to control the mind, and to focus it on Krishna. So, I am not Krishna, but I am Guru. So, when we teach Hatha Yoga, then sooner or later we'll have to tell people, yes, it's the Guru. Ultimately, all the asanas, all pranayama, everything is aimed to control the mind. And then, fix the English. 24.